Okay then,
we'll get started. Now on the back of your page you may have a little map in case you're interested. And this is a map of an area which is called Lithuania. And that's where my father came from. My father came from a little town near Vilna, which you'll see starred, called Plisa. And not far from Vilna was the city of Radin, where the Chofetz Chaim came from. And not far from Radin, which I circled up on the right, is Volozhin. And Volozhin was the city which housed a yeshiva, a gigantic yeshiva, which is called the Yeshiva Volozhin. And the head of that yeshiva, the founder of that yeshiva, was Reb Chaim Volozhin. And he was the outstanding disciple of the Vilna Gaon, who was from the nearby city of Vilna. Now, Reb Chaim Volozhin wrote quite a few works. Probably the most famous of them is the Nefesh HaChaim. Every one of his works has the word Chaim in it, because his name was Chaim. And the one that we want to study, because we're focused a little bit on Pirkei Avos, is called the Ruach HaChaim. And from the Ruach HaChaim, which you'll see on the other side of your page, we're going to take a look at a few different pieces tonight, depending upon how much time it takes us and how much time we have. So in one of Reb Chaim Volozhin's introductory statements to Pirkei Avos, he says the following: Vizehu inyan Dibur Aaron Umirian B'Moshe. He says, what's the issue at stake when Aaron and Miriam spoke about Moshe? Shechashvu, they imagined, Sheetzlam, even for them, Gamkein, just like Moshe, Nizdakech HaChomer. Okay, that's a heavy phrase. What it means is that we're put into this world with a physical body, a material corporeal body, and we have to, so to speak, cleanse it or upgrade it, or shall we say, sanctify it and purify it. Now, Moshe reached that level in which his physical body was so sanctified, it was so uplifted, that he was able to transmit the Torah. Nizdake Chachomer Kabo B'Moshe. They, meaning Aaron and Miriam, came to the conclusion that they too received prophecy on the highest level because they had successfully uplifted and spiritualized their physicality. And therefore, Lachain Amru, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, they declared, Harak Ach B'Moshe Diber? Is it just that Hashem spoke to Moshe? Klomar, what do they mean to say? Lo bo bilvad, not only with regard to Moshe, do we say Hashchina midaberes mitoch grono, which means that the Shechina actually spoke through the physical body of Moshe, and that's the Torah that we have. Bo mamish, literally through Moshe Rabbeinu. Halo gam banu diber, God spoke to us as well. Chashvu, they thought, and this is where their mistake was, the root of their mistake, Shegam nivuasam b'madrega kazu. And their prophecy is on the same high level as that of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that level is defined as Shechina medaberes mitoch grono, that God speaks through the mouth of the Navi, or the prophet. And that's the level of someone who has completely purified his physicality. And Aaron and Miriam equated themselves with Moshe. As a result, they were surprised that Moshe had to separate himself from physicality, in this case from a marriage relationship, and yet they, Aaron and Miriam respectively, did not have to do so. And therefore they couldn't understand, why does Moshe have to separate himself from his wife? We didn't have to separate ourselves from our spouses, and yet we're on the same level with that same unique prophecy that Moshe achieved. We achieved that same level.
Question, yeah. About
Miriam, as far as I know, only prophesied once. And Moshe basically was, I mean, he had Nevuah on a routine.
Right.
You see Aaron, because Hashem spoke to Aaron several times. So maybe Aaron could have made the mistake. But how could Miriam have thought that?
Right. Excellent, Ira. So what I'm going to ask you to do is learn with me a piece in the Kovetz Ma'amarim of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. Now, just by way of introduction, has everybody here in the room heard of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman?
He went back to die
in the Holocaust. He was a great Rosh Hashiva in the city of Baranovich. Again, I don't see it now. Oh, yeah, it is actually there. If you take a look at Radin on your map, the great Rosh Hashiva, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, was a Talmud, a student of the Chafetz Chaim in Radin, and then he moved a little bit south to Baranovich, where he established his own yeshiva. And there are many, many stories about him and his greatness. Amongst the various writings that we have from him, one is called Kovetz Ma'amarim, which is literally an anthology of essays. And he has one essay specifically focused on Nevuas Moshe. And in order to understand what was unique about Moshe's Nevuah, we take a look, he says in the Rambam at the end of Hilchus Tumas Tzaras. There the Rambam speaks about Lashon Hara. And the Rambam writes, Uma Miriam Shelo Dibra Bignus Achiha Ela Shehishvasa Oso Lashara Nevi'im. As you know, Miriam was struck with leprosy, with Tzaras, for doing what? She didn't speak negatively about Moshe. All she said was that Gam Banu Diber Moshe, Diber Hashem, that just like Hashem spoke to Moshe, so too he spoke to us. So there was nothing explicitly, at least, that was derogatory about her statement, and yet she was punished so harshly, Kavachomer, much more so if someone speaks in an outright derogatory way about another human being. And this Rambam comes based on his original source, is the Sifri. Says Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, the Rambam has authored in the last chapter of Sanhedrin a list of the 13 principles of the faith. And on that list, he has the following. He has Nevuah, meaning that God speaks to his prophets. That's one of the fundamentals of our religion. And then he has, as a separate counting, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Namely, that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than all the other prophets. Says Rabbi Elchanan, and this I think what Ira was asking before, according to the Rambam, if someone declares that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is equal to that of other prophets, then he becomes a kofar, he's in denial of one of the 13 principles of the faith. Because the Rambam has set up a separate principle establishing that Moshe's Nevuah is unique, and it was never equaled. So if somebody equates another Nevuah to that of Moshe Rabbeinu, and all prophecies the same, including Moshe, he has the halacha of a mumar, of someone who denies one of the fundamentals of the faith, and he forfeits his place in the world to come. If that be the case, how could it be possible that Miriam is considered in violation of Lashon Hara? And that's about the worst kind of violation you can accuse her of, for equating her prophecy with that of Moshe Rabbeinu. On the contrary, this is not a low-level sin. According to the Rambam, this is a denial of one of the 13 principles of the faith. You forfeit your place in the world to come. You're a kofer b'ikar, a mumar l'chol tor kula. Besides which, I don't understand, how is it possible that the Rambam would learn a kal vachomer, that the Torah's punishment for Miriam was so harsh, even though it was a low-ebb sin, kal vachomer much more so if we speak outright, explicit, derogatory words about our friends, we'll have even a more harsh punishment. But the words that she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu were words of kfir, of denial of one of the basic fundamentals of the faith. So we really should not classify Miriam's sin as that of Lashon Hara, and start deriving conclusions about the, you know, the harsh punishment for Lashon Hara, her sin is in a different category entirely. She leaves the fold, so to speak. She's not part of Klal Yisrael because she equated her nevuah with that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And all this is based on the initial statement here that we started with tonight of Reb Chaim Volozhin, who says the root of the sin of Aaron and Miriam is that they equated their prophecy with that of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not just the sin of Lashon Hara, that's a much more severe sin, because one of the fundamental principles of the faith is that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, his level of prophecy and the quality thereof, is absolutely unique and singular. So Rav Elchanan, in order to answer this question, he pulls what I call a fast move. And what he says the following, that where did the Rambam derive this conclusion to formulate as one separate fundamental of the faith in his counting of the 13, that idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is unique? Where did he get it from? The answer is, he got it from the response of Almighty God to the sin of Miriam. What was Hashem's response? Lochein avdi Moshe. Here, in this context, and in response to Miriam's claim, equating her prophecy with that of Moshe, here's where God reveals this fundamental principle of the faith, which Miriam was not aware of. Namely, Lochein avdi Moshe. Moshe's not the way you think Miriam nevuah is all about. His nevuah is totally different, qualitatively unique. Peh el peh adaber bo, I speak to him face to face. Bimareh velo bichidos, I speak to him not in visions and similes, but rather directly as if two people were speaking one to the other. However, Bishosha Dibra Miriam, when Miriam spoke, this was chronologically earlier than this revelation, this formulation, which came as a brand new idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is on a special level. Therefore, Miriam cannot be held responsible for violating or denying and rejecting one of the ikrim, one of the fundamentals of the principles. That principle has not yet been formulated, it's not yet been given. So therefore, the worst case scenario, you can accuse her of some sort of quasi-Lashon Hara, meaning implying why Moshe was not justified in separating himself from his wife, but that wasn't an outright statement on her part, and therefore her Lashon Hara was certainly on a low level, and hence the Rambam's Kal Vachomer. Aval Achshav, this is how Rebbe Chanan concludes his presentation today, if Yomar Adam, a person will come forward and say exactly what Miriam said, the same words, that the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is not greater or superior to that of any other Navi, of any other prophet of the amongst the prophets, then he would be considered, according to the Rambam, a kofar, a denial, a heretic of one of the 13 principles of the faith. Miriam got in under the wire because God hadn't revealed this yet. Now, I have to tell you this. It's true that Hashem spilled the beans, so to speak, and revealed something that we weren't aware of in the wake of Miriam's speech, namely that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, his prophecy, is unique, but I wonder why that has to be one of the principles of the faith. Why does that have to be such that if somebody equates Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy with the level of other prophets, He's a denier of one of the fundamentals of the faith. Yeah, I understand the fundamentals are that there's one God, that he's not corporeal, that he's infinite, that he gave us the Torah, that he has Nevi'im, that he will give us the world to come, and there's redemption, and there's reward, and punishment. All those are fundamentals. But let's say in the worst case scenario, and I'm going to whisper it, somebody would say that Moshe's Nevuah is on the same level as that of other Nevi'im. So what? Why is that so tragic? Why does that undermine our entire theological basis? Yeah, Josh? I mean,
it could be that it has to do with the fact that the Torah is eternal. Excellent. And Moshe gave us the Torah, and so if another Navi could be on the same level, you'd end up with like Christianity.
Okay, you're, I think, a step ahead of me. Let me just backtrack a little
Something
bit.
Like
I want to start with what... Yeah, Ira, go ahead.
Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg actually had a tape on about that. He predicted that the Mormons were going to, in a couple of years, allow blacks in, because there's no Navi that's qualitatively different. And there was, they had a vision, and that's what he just said.
Yeah.
If anybody can be equal to Moshe, then somebody will claim, whether honestly or dishonestly, will claim in the future at some point in time, I had the vision that feminism is.
Okay, let's not go into detail here.
That's for sure.
I'm just saying, whatever it is.
Right. So let me just put together what Josh and what Ira, what you're both saying. Okay. We got all the doctors here tonight fighting it out. No, you're all basically saying
the same idea.
You're saying the same idea. Torah itself is predicated on the exceptionally unique nature and essence of Nevuas Moshe. Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, his prophecy, is different, is unique. All other prophets are given a vision, and they have to formulate that vision in words. In fact, the word Nevu itself comes from expression, from formulation, from enunciating words. The words are never put into the mouth of the Navi. No prophet is given words. All the words of the prophets are unique to that prophet. That's why Chazal say that no two prophets have the same style. The exception to this rule is the Torah itself. That Nevuah is called Peh El Peh Adaber Bo. And the Rambam describes it in his Yud Gimel Ikrim that Hashem delivers the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word. Moshe Rabbeinu is a scribe. There's not one word in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu added or subtracted or created on his own. He is simply transmitting the Torah as given to him. And that's because Moshe Rabbeinu was on that level, that Peh El Peh Adaber Bo, Lo Bechidos. The Torah says, I didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in riddles, in visions, in metaphors. I gave him the Torah exactly as it is. And that's what makes the entity of Torah so unique. I'll give you an example. You'll laugh at this. What's the punishment, if anybody here knows, for rebelling against the word of a prophet? Any prophet. That is called Misa Bidei Shamayim. That is a divine death. Beis Din doesn't put him to death, but what's the violation for eating non-kosher food?
Malkos.
It's not Misa. Now here's a question I have to ask you. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu is also a Navi. And if he tells me don't eat this food and I violate his will, that's called Hacholik al Navi, and therefore he should be Chayiv Misa. Why is he only Chayiv Malkos? The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us Torah. Torah has a framework. It has rules, it has structures, it has regulations. One of those regulations is that if you violate a lotaseh, then you get Malkos. You don't get Misa for that, unless the Torah specifically makes an exception. All of this, the entity of Torah with all its rules and a separate corpus of Torah, is because of Moshe Rabbeinu's unique level and quality of Nevuah. That Nevuah is given to him word for word from the mouth of God to his ears. And therefore the Rambam says if somebody denies that, he's in denial of the Torah itself. All this was formulated, says Rav Elchanan, and established as one of the fundamentals of our faith after Miriam's sin. And therefore Miriam could only be held responsible for the sin of Lashon Hara, if that at all. And here I want to show you that there is a book that's been written in the last 20 years, which is an expansion or an embellishment of Rav Chaim Volozhin. In other words, just like today, it's very popular to take a great book and write footnotes and commentaries on a book to make it easier and more enjoyable to learn a book. Amongst them is Rav Chaim Volozhin. And this is called Ubacharta Bachaim. And he says the following, that it comes out according to Rav Chaim Volozhin that Aaron and Miriam made the following mistake. They thought that they had purified their bodies, their physicality, to the same extent that Moshe had. They thought that their prophecy was on the same level of Moshe, which is called Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono Shel Moshe. Why is that so? Why would they come to that conclusion? After all, if what we're saying is true, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a scribe who heard from God's mouth, so to speak, every single word of the Torah. If Moshe is unique in the fact that he is the transmitter of Torah, why would Aaron and Miriam come to the mistaken conclusion, had it come about, that they thought that their level was equal to that of Moshe? And listen to his answer. This is an unbelievable answer that I wanted to share with you. He says what he wants to raise as a possibility as to why Moshe and Aaron equated their level of prophecy with that of Moshe, namely, Shechina medaberes mitoch grono, is because this concept of Shechina medaberes mitoch grono, that the voice of God is heard through the body of the Navi, is a prerequisite to transmitting the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu makes the statement, V'nachnu ma, meaning that we have nothing on our own, and he's speaking about himself, and therefore his physicality is completely negated, and therefore he gets the Torah. Why did Aaron and Moshe make the mistake that they too were on the same level? And here he says something unbelievable. He says that they also were responsible for the transmission of Torah. The transmission of Torah was not unique and limited to Moshe, but it was shared by three individuals: Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. How does he know such a thing? The answer is, he bases himself on two different sources. One is the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Ki Tovo, and there the Medrash says that for every single ole, anyone who gets an aliyah for the Torah, we have to read the minimum of three psukim. Why three? Says the Medrash, in the name of Chazal, that the number three corresponds to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, Shenitna Torah al Yedeim. To my knowledge, this is something revolutionary. We never found that the Torah itself says that the transmission of the Torah was through three individuals, through Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. But here in the Medrash, that's what it says. Shenitna Torah al Yedeim, and that's hence the number three for how many psukim we read for each aliyah. Not only that, he says, let's go back to the Tanakh itself. At the end of Tanakh, Micha makes the comment, the Eshlach, in the name of God, of course, Eshlach lefanecha es Moshe, Aaron, u'Miriam. I will send before you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Says the Ibn Ezra, what does that mean, I will send these three? Gam ha-Torah, says the Ibn Ezra, nitna al yidei Moshe v'Aaron, shahoya lo lepeh, right, Moshe was a stutterer, so that Aaron would actually transmit the words of the Torah. Ushneam limdu ha-mitzvos la'anoshim, and both Moshe and Aaron, Moshe said it first and then Aaron would transmit it, would give the mitzvahs to the men. U'Miriam la'noshim. Who transmitted the Torah to the women folk? It was Miriam. That's a pretty amazing statement. And that's how the Ibn Ezra interprets the pasuk at the end of Tanakh, Va'eshlach lefanech es Moshe, Aaron, u'Miriam. Therefore, says the Sefer Ubichat Mechaim Lachem Tohu, they came to a mistaken conclusion because they thought Shigam Hemi Gula Madrega Shel Shechina Midaberes Mitoch Grono. In other words, in order to be a transmitter of Torah, you have to reach this level of Nevuah. And since they were part of the transmission of Torah, they played a major role, essential role, in transmitting the Torah. They believed, therefore, they must have achieved those prerequisites that Moshe had achieved of Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono. But if you're careful about it, that's not true. Because who received the Torah? It was only Moshe. Who transmitted the Torah? It was Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, it's very interesting, by the way, you know, you mentioned before, Ira, about feminism. This is almost borders on feminism. I'll tell you what I mean. When I think of Miriam leading the women, what parsha of the Torah comes to my mind?
Mishalach.
Right. Which section in Mishalach? Which episode?
Shira.
Kriyas Yamsuf in the Shira. Correct? In the afternoon of the Shira, Miriam takes out the Tupim Macholos, and she sings together with the lady folk, Shir Hashem, Kigo Ga'asus, Raporam Vayom, and that's the story. But now we're learning something phenomenal. And this is something I'd like you to pass on to the women folk. That according to this statement in Ibn Ezra at least, she, Miriam, was responsible for transmitting the Torah to the women. It's very interesting. Again, if you're into tzniyus, I guess what it means, maybe kol v'sha'erim, so the men had to teach the men, the women. Okay, I'm not getting into that. But the bottom line is, this is a pretty phenomenal conclusion here. And based on this premise that Miriam taught Torah to the women, she was a transmitter of Torah no less than Moshe and Aaron, and therefore she believed that her level of nevuah had reached that of Moshe and Aaron. But both Aaron and Miriam made that mistake. Now I'd like to show you something from Rabbi Meir Simcha Midvinsk. Now let me just see if we can find Dvinsk on this map here. I'll tell you why it's not here. Because Lithuania is in Belarus, or at least borders on Belarus. And Dvinsk, which is called Dagopils, is in the nearby section which is called Riga. Did I get that right?
Riga was a city.
Oh, so what's
Riga
the...
Riga is a city in Lithuania, the capital of Lithuania.
Ah, so anyway, there's an area called Riga, and right near Riga is Dvinsk. That's called Dagopils in today's language. In any event, what great work did Rav Meir Simcha author on the Torah itself? It's called the Meshech Chachma. And the Meshech Chachma asks the following question. What does it mean that one of our principles of faith is that God commands us to believe in Moshe? What does that mean, believe in Moshe? Moshe is a human being. Every human being is granted freedom of choice.
So Rav Yaakov Weinberg had a thing that when Moshe was giving Torah, he lost his Bechira.
Okay, so where did he get it from, Rav Yaakov Weinberg? He got it from the Meshech Chachma. Take a look. Rav Yaakov Weinberg was a century after the Meshech Chachma.
Oh, yeah.
We're going back to the original sources here. So it's very nice for Rav Yaakov Weinberg to give the tape, but I could have given the same tape because I got it from the same source that he got it from. And I went out with his daughter. Anyway, no, that has nothing to do with... So what happens over here? Says Rav Meir Simcha, an amazing thing. We know that God's knowledge does not remove the freedom of choice of any person. And therefore, even if God knows that Moshe Rabbeinu will never go astray and he'll always be upright and dedicated to God, but nevertheless, that doesn't in any way force Moshe Rabbeinu to follow that path. Because we believe on the one hand in Yediyah, and on the other hand in Bechira. And therefore, Shema Yibocher Echa Acher Zeh Chalil Lahosif Dvar Torah Midato. Maybe after Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, he's going to make a decision on his own. He has that freedom of choice to change the Torah, to add to the Torah, subtract from the Torah. Says Rav Meir Simcha, an amazing yisod. He says, "Al karchach tzarich lomash Hashem yisbach sholal mimenu habechira legamre." That God at some point removed bechira completely from Moshe Rabbeinu. Who does that remind you of, Rabosai? Who else in history, but way before Moshe? Well, Paro. Not way before.
Paro.
Paro, correct. This is like the flip side of Paro. In Paro's case, he was denied Bechira Chavshis to let the people go and do the right thing. In Moshe Rabbeinu's case, he was denied Bechira Chavshis to vilify or violate the Torah? Or and that's not the word. What's the word I want to use to... what's the word?
Fabricate.
No, I'm looking for a word. When you're looking for a word, it's terrible. It's the worst thing because nothing will satisfy you until you get that word. Yeah. And how could you know the word when I don't even know the word, right? Okay. But in any event, Moshe Rabbeinu was denied Bechir Shoshes to deviate from the will of God and to fabricate, as you said before, the Torah. Nishar Muchach Kemalach. He becomes like a Malach who doesn't have freedom of choice. So what I would like to do with you now, if you have sources number 4 and 5, is try to show you how this principle, this breakthrough, if you will, of Rav Meir Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha, how it filters out, and perhaps how we can find an earlier source way before Rav Meir Simcha. Rav Meir Simcha lived in the 20th century, and something way, way before the 20th century. So let's first take a look at the introduction to the Shiras David. The Shiras David again is an embellishment on the Meshech Chochma. And he writes, Hine Yisod Dvarav, what's the fundamental principle that underlies this tremendous revolution of Rav Meir Simcha? As saying that Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level of a Malach, and therefore he was beyond the pale of freedom of choice. He says it's based on a Rambam, because the Rambam has in the Yud Gimel Yesodos, the Yud Gimel fundamental principles of the faith. The seventh one is Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that Moshe says, I'm sorry, the Rambam says about Moshe, one Moshe about the other, that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen from the entire human species because he achieved with his understanding of God, his knowledge of God, more than any other human being ever achieved. And Yasik Shumadim, or any human being in the future, will ever... Is there an extra page by any chance for you, man? Any human being will ever achieve. And he, Moshe Rabbeinu, reached the level of an angel. In which case, the Rambam says, "Lo nishar masach." There's no barrier between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Velo mono monea gufni, and there was no physical limitation, material corporeal part of his body that prevented him from achieving this direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see already in the Rambam, way before Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, that Moshe Rabbeinu has the level of a malach. And as we know, a malach doesn't have freedom of choice. But I want to show you something that's even more explicit. Rabbeinu Nisim, who lived in Girona about, shall we say, 9 centuries ago, a little bit less, authored a book of the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, of the Torah beliefs, in his book called Drash Al Soran. And he too is quoted by the Shiras David from Drush He. And the Ran says the following, Yodua, it's known, Shekol Inyan Moshe Hula Malamin Ateva. Moshe means something that goes beyond the physical laws of nature. Ki min ha-nimna, it's impossible. Shehu yale adam l'madrega she'olah bal derech ha-minhag ha-tivi. He says that the level that Moshe Rabbeinu achieved is beyond human natural potential. Ki amro v'lo kam navi, that there'll never be another prophet that could achieve this level, because this is something that God granted to Moshe Rabbeinu, teaching us that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu is above nature. Says the Ran, Hishlimo Hashem Yisbarach b'inyan nisi, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu on his own, with his own kochot, his own abilities, reached a certain level. Beyond that level, it was a divine intervention, it was a miracle. V'einenu efshari shiasigenu adam kifi minek tivi. Because without that miracle, without that divine intervention, the human being would have reached his maximum capacity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him one step further. If you assume that the level that Moshe Rabbeinu achieved was on his own, how could the Torah state that no other Navi would ever reach that level? If Moshe Rabbeinu, as a human being, flesh and blood, based on natural law, could work on himself and upgrade himself to that level, then any other person could reach. How do you guarantee me that no other Navi would reach that? Hashem lo yilo yimna tov mival, of God would never prevent a person, any person, from reaching that level, and therefore he can also reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But aval inyan apasuk, what does this pasuk mean when it says that lo kam navi od bi Yisrael ki inyan Moshe lo v'shom v'kach hanisim v'niflos? Moshe Rabbeinu reached a certain level, and beyond that level, it was all a miracle. It was something that was metaphysical. It was based on the divine being. V'yotza migeder hanyonim ativim, and it goes outside of the natural law of the universe. Hari behedja, we see explicitly that Moshe was zocheh, he reached that level of nevuah al yidei nes, which means that no other person could have that level, because it was only because the divine being granted him that level. And therefore, we understand what the Meshech Chochma says, that there was no koach habechira, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu already reached the stage where there was no possibility of his deviating from the Torah and vilifying the Torah because he had no freedom of choice. He was on the level of a malach, of an angel. Veshuv lo haya b'yecholto lachto chet enosh. So again, as far as human beings and their input and their actions and their ability to upgrade themselves and climb and ascend the spiritual ladders, there, at that level, any human being could reach that of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu went beyond that level. He went beyond what's humanly the capacity of a human being to achieve. And that's because the divine being stepped in and said, "Lo kam Navi Od, I'm going to bring Moshe up to that level of Panim El Panim Dibra Hashem Imo." So let's just summarize so far what we've seen, and then I'd like to turn to the other side of... the other side of the page, you have a map, right?
Right.
So I didn't give you the other page? Oh, I'm so sorry. Where's the other page? Okay, here's the other page. I don't know. Alan, you're taking me off the tangent. Bilam is a very complicated sugya. I don't know. We'll have to give a whole share on Bilam. And if you'd like...
Maybe he had no Bechira when he... Because there are words that he said that are in Torah.
I don't know. I don't know. If you want to hear about Bilam, you have to go onto Torah... what's called YU Torah. Okay, just look for the name Azariah Berzon and then punch in the name Bilam and you'll have a whole shiur on the Buaz Bilam. But that's not for us tonight. What I would like to do with you tonight, and I'm pretty sure I photocopied it, the only question is where I put it. Oh, here it is.
Do you have time for a question?
Yeah. Just give me 1 second, Josh, to get my head on straight here. Okay. Because I know I did all this photocopying tonight and I really worked hard for you, and now the question is where I put it. Okay, just give me a second here to organize myself. It should say, this should be a page. Oh, I think I found it. Yes, it's here. Oh, okay. So if you could take one and pass it around. Okay then, divvy it up. Yeah, Josh, go ahead.
Well, I just want to throw out a suggestion, and if you don't want to talk about it, I understand.
Yeah, only because I prepared a shiur for tonight. I meet with you once a week, and you have to have Rachmanis on me. Yeah. So,
but could one say, I'm sorry to take like a somewhat different approach to Miriam and Aaron, that maybe they weren't necessarily implying that they're exactly on the same level as Moshe? But what they were saying was that whatever Moshe level was on, why is he separating from his wife? We also have something like what Moshe said. We're also prophets.
All right, Josh. You're entitled.
The whole premise is the Rambam. The Rambam is
again. I'm not on the Rambam. I'm on the Ruach Chaim here. Let's go back to the Ruach Chaim. My commitment here is to Rav Chaim Volozhin.
Yeah.
Meaning, in my mind, Josh, and I hope this won't put you off. Rav Chaim Volozhin is like a Rishon.
No, but I mean, okay.
And I have to rack my brains to figure it out. So, if you want to say it in the language of
the language of the Rambam,
how do you want to fit it into the language? You know, that's the
saying
question.
That Gam Kach Nizdache Chachomer, right?
No, it should be Gam Kain. Did you say Gam Kach?
I'm sorry, my bad. Gam Kain Nizdach Echachomer Kibamor. They're saying, we also achieve this level of transcending our physicality.
Right, and therefore Shechina Medaberes Mito
Grona. Does that mean they're saying that they're exactly like Moshe?
I don't know. That's the way Rabbi Elchanan understood it, because
right.
Rabbi Elchanan said, wait a minute, what's going on here?
If they
equated that Avu with Moshe.
Right.
So you're right. In the Ruach HaChaim, maybe you could say, well, Shechina Medaberes Mito Grona, we achieve that as well, but that's not the level of Torah. Or maybe Moshe... But again, you know, in order to justify your position, what you would need, I think, Josh, is some sort of level that goes beyond Shechina Medaberes Mito Grona.
Correct.
And honestly, I don't know that such a thing exists.
Okay, fine.
Because Shechina Medaberes Mito Grona is like that's it. You know, that's Pal Pal Dabar Bo. You know, the voice of God is coming through. Okay,
fine. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, what I want you to look at here on the page that I gave out is another paragraph from the Ruach HaChaim. It should say on it, it came out a little bit funny, I'm sorry. Mishames Yossi Ben Yoezer. You have that?
Mishames.
And this is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that speaks about a new period of time in the history of the transmission of Torah. And there's a transition here from one great Tana to the next, which is going down a level. And the Mishnah applauds and lauds Yossi ben Yoezer because he had achieved an amazing level. And what does it say about Yossi ben Yoezer? Eshkolos ish shakolbo. This went down the tubes with the death, the passing of Yossi ben Yoezer. He was the last. In America, we have a phrase, I don't know if you ever heard it, the last of the Mohicans. What was the greatness of Yossi ben Yoezer? He's called Ish Shakolbo. He's a man that integrates everything together. And the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, in this particular paragraph, wants to understand what defines the greatness of an Ish Eshkolot. Ish Eshkolot means, you know, a cluster. Cluster meaning it has everything. It has everything in it. And Rav Chaim Volozhin, in an amazing move, equates this phrase in the Mishnah with a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and specifically the way Tarsha Malpeh interpreted that pasuk. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. You know that Shir HaShirim is a description of, on one level, the love between a man and a woman. But on a metaphysical, on a, what word am I looking for? On a, what do you say?
Allegorical.
Allegorical level, it is an allegory to Torah and to the relationship between God and Klal Yisrael. And whenever you see a description of this woman who represents Knesset Yisrael, then that description is meant to tell us something about those members of Klal Yisrael that achieve greatness through the study of Torah. And in this case, the pasuk says, Shadayach le'eshkalos, describing a physical part of a woman's body as if it was eshkalos, the same word eshkalos that we saw in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos describing Yossi ben Yoezer. Says the Medrash, what did the pasuk of Shir HaShirim of Shlomo Melch have in mind? Maha eshkol.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
I will. Ma ha'eshkol kol agodol mechavero namuch mechavero. Wow, this is an amazing statement. Kol agodol mechavero namuch mechavero. He seems to imply that the cluster of grapes is sort of like upside down in a way that the fatter grapes are on the bottom. So a Talmud Chacham, he says, who is gadol mechavero, you know, he's achieved greatness in Torah knowledge, yet he's on the bottom. He's namuch mechavero. What is that all about? Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, that's about humility. V'ha'inyan ki al yidei ha'anova zoche ha'odom, a man is considered to be hakol. Hakol is the eshkol, right? Because the eshkol has the word hakol in it. Ish shakolbo. And who becomes the paradigm in all of Jewish history for ish shakolbo, which means anova? Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu ha'anov mikol adam. So I was fascinated by this piece from Rav Chaim Volozhin because it never occurred to me that when you define the nature of a Talmud Chacham and you measure his greatness, your barometer should be what we call anova, humility. And in any discussion about ethics, which, by the way, the English translation loosely of Pirkei Avos is the ethics of the father. I don't know, fathers, I don't know if you want to take that definition, but definitely it's a book of Musa and ethics. You cannot leave out a discussion about anova. And perhaps more than any other attribute, this attribute has to be singled out as the cornerstone of Midos Tovos, of Musa, of all of what it means to have the right attributes. It all starts with anova. So what I want to do with you, again, I don't know how much we can accomplish in the next 15 minutes, but if you're with me, to try to see what is the nature of this anova. And there's a particular Gemara in Chulin that fascinates our minds. The paradigms of anova are, number one, Avraham Avinu, and number two, Moshe and Aaron. And there's a very shall I say, nuance or a hair's breadth of a difference, very subtle, between the two expressions of humility. And how is that so? So the Gemara points out that Avraham Avinu declares, Anochi Afar Va'efer. This is, I think, in Parshas Vayera, if I remember correctly. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they declare, V'nachnu Ma. What are we? As if to say, we are nothing. And the Gemara therefore states that Moshe Rabbeinu's Anova, together with Aaron, supersedes that of Avraham Avinu. L'chora ain't a move on. Ma hosif Moshe al Masha Omar Avram. I mean, after all, what's Anochi Ofer Veifa? I'm like the dust on the earth. She'ein bo shumer klal. I mean, you can't sell it. It has no value. So anachnu ma. What are we worth on the market? Says the Varsha that Moshe Rabbeinu meant to go one step further by equating himself with ma. Ma has to do with something called the tipa srucha. We won't go into that now. But in this book that we want to take a look at, called the Avir Yosef, his name is Reinemann, he lives, I think, in Bnei Brak, and he writes the following, Nira Lahosef Hosef, it seems that Moshe and Aaron added something very phenomenal. Why? The Afar Ve'efer Hu Tachlis HaShiflus Ve'ha'anova. The lowest that you can equate yourself with, and therefore the most humble statement you can make about yourself, is to compare yourself to the dust of the earth. That is the greatest, most lofty expression of humility. Avol Moshe goes beyond that, qualitatively. He acknowledges she'elo shum metzius atzmaid klal. He has no independent existence. Zulat except mashu chelek elo kamimal. He is just a formulation or an expression or an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has no self independent experience or independent existence. And he goes on in his Sefer on Purim to say that the purpose of drinking on Purim is to reach this level of Ein Od Milvado, when a person realizes that everything is God and I have no independent existence, and he reaches the level of Moshe V'Aaron of Nachnu Ma. But in any event, what I wanted to point out to you here is that we see that Moshe and Aaron reached a level of self-negation which is even beyond Anova. Anova means I'm very humble. I know I'm this, I'm that, you know, I'm not so big on myself, and I'm bloated about myself. But even leaving all that conceit aside and equating myself with the lowest on the rung, which is Afar and Afar, but nevertheless I am something. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm nothing. I'm just an expression of divinity. I'm another extension of Elokam Imah. So Rabosa, before we take a look at Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, if I were to ask you the following question, and I'm hoping you'll get this question right, which means you'll give me the wrong answer. So I'm looking now for the wrong answer to my question. Who is greater? Moshe and Aaron or Avram? Can you give me your knee-jerk response based on everything we've seen until this point?
Moshe and Aaron.
Oh, greater, correct?
Greater in humiliation. They are less than Avram. Avram is dust and they are not even dust.
Correct. So isn't that a greater level of humility than Avram? So here I want to show you how Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has something fascinating to say. The word gadol, which means great, can be defined in two ways. Great could be bekamus, which means you have, let's say you have two substances in front of you. One has a greater volume, that's called gadol, you know, vis-a-vis the smaller one, that's called kamus. And the other is called echus. Echus means in a qualitative sense. He gives the following example. He says, you can take 2 litrim of silver and compare it to 1 litra of zahav, of gold. Obviously, from a kamus point of view, the kesef, the silver here, is double the volume of that of the gold. And if you'd call it gadol. But from a level of echus, in terms of value, the litra of zahav is worth that much more than 2 litros of kesef. And he says the following. This is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Musa movement. He writes that Gadol Yoser Mashenemar B'Moshe Mi Mashenemar B'Avram Avinu. Greater is that that Moshe says, because Moshe says, "Vanachnu ma." Dahainu, what does that mean? Bittul gomur b'mitzius. I'm nothing on my own. But Avram says, "Anochi of Eiver." He is a mitzius. He does exist. He's at least something on the lowest level. Ubi Yalkut, in the Yalkut Shimoni, it says, "Va'ish Moshe anav miod mikol adam." It doesn't say about that at regarding the avos. And the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu was an expression or an example of greatness that superseded that of Avram Avinu. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu acknowledged that within the framework of the godless Haborei, of the greatness of God, I am nothing. I'm not even a speck of dust in the cosmos. Oh, says Rabbi Yisrael, how did Moshe Rabbeinu achieve this unbelievable level? And the answer is that Habori Yisbarach Shmo Her Ehu V'Gilolo Shem Havaya. That God revealed to Moshe what he did not reveal to Avram Avinu, the name Havaya. And this, if you remember, is at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where the Pasuk declares that God appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe asks him his name, and he says Havaya. But with regard to Avram Avinu, it says Ushmi Havaya Lo Nodati Lehem. The Avos were not aware of the Shem Havaya. And now he gives this whole mashal that we mentioned before. He says V'chein Kan Anova Shel Moshe Haisa Gedoli Yoser. Yes, it's true that Moshe's expression of humility is that much greater than Avram Avinu, but that's only Bekamus. If you want to evaluate it in its true essential value, is Gedola Yosra Anov the Avram? Avram Avinu is a greater achievement of Anov. Why? Because me Moshe, if you're talking about the Anov, the humility of Moshe, it ain't Gedola Kolkach, it's not so great. Why? Because he understood divinity in a way that Avram Avinu couldn't. It was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu Shem Havaya. Avram Avinu, in that sense, was Gadol. He was greater than that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Shaloh Hodiah, even though Hashem did not reveal to Avram Avinu his essence, his Shem Havaya. Havaya meaning, I am the source of everything. Everything that exists only exists in me. And that I'm sure, Ira, you'll remember from those tapes. Aval Avram Avinu Gadol Yoser Harabusa. Why the Chiddush of Avram Avinu, that even though, despite the fact that he didn't have this secret vision, it was never revealed to him, Yud Kei Vav Kei, nevertheless, even in the absence of that Hodalo, nevertheless, Afal Pichen, he reached that level of Anova in which he could say, Anochi Afar Va'efer. I think this is fantastic. I believe that if I ever had doubts about the genius of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, this convinced me. This very humble piece over here about humility, because it's brilliant. What he's saying is that there's kamus and there's echus. Yes, we're much more impressed by the concept and the acknowledgement of Moshe Rabbeinu, his vision, his grasp of the infinite nature of God, and the fact that there's no independent existence outside of God. That's wonderful, and that's anachnu ma. But where was he coming from? Let's call a spade a spade. Moshe Rabbeinu had the revelation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Avos did not. And yet, Avram Avinu declares out of a sense of sincerity, Anochi Afar Va'efer. Rabosai, I see the time is going. What I'm going to try to do in the next 5 minutes, again, I always take upon myself way too much, is to go through at least the highlights of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great giant Musar master in our generation, in my humble opinion, on Parshas Vayikra. You remember that Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 different names. And each name, the Medrash says in the beginning of Vayikra, has a different meaning and reflects on a different aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. For example, he's called Yarid because he brought down the Torah from Har Sinai. He's called Avigdor because he's Avim Shel Godrim. He's called Achaver because Chibres Abonim Lavim Sheva Shamayim, etc., etc., etc. But yet, we know Moshe Rabbeinu by only one of those 10 names. So in order to appreciate why we know Moshe Rabbeinu, we identify him as Moshe amongst all these beautiful names, nine that were left out, so to speak, we have to ask what is in a name. I think Shakespeare was one of those who asked that question, correct? And the answer is that a name has to capture the essence of an object or its value. For example, the Chazal say that had it HaKadosh Baruch Hu prove to the Malachi Asharis that man is even greater than you angels in heaven, because Adam HaRishon was capable, he was able to give names to all the animals and the chayos and the ophos, the birds and so forth and so on. Even to God he was able to give a name. And giving a name means understanding the essence of something, and that's what Adam HaRishon was endowed with, that level of intelligence that he could identify the essence of an object. And therefore the name really captures the essence, the most important of any dimension of that entity or that being, of that human being. Now, every other person has one name. Moshe Rabbeinu has 10 names. And the reason for that is that Moshe Rabbeinu is such a multifaceted, complex individual. We can define his essence in 10 different ways. He's Makif Gedulah. He completely exhausts in a comprehensive way all the dimensions of greatness. But then again, why the name Moshe? And the answer is, let's go back to the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's life as a little baby floating in a cradle on the Nile. And Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, the Chazal say that Hashem says to Moshe, Chayecha mikol Hashem Moshe Yeshcha eni korcha ela b'shem shekaroscha bat yobas paro Vatikra Shmo Moshe. And she gave the name Moshe. So Reb Chaim Shulevitz, this giant of Musa, wants to understand, what did Hashem find in this name that makes it superior to all the other names? All the other names clearly express the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Here, it's just that she takes Moshe out of the Nile, Mina Maya Mishisihu. And really, this has no relationship to Moshe at all. This just is a description of the greatness of Batya, who puts her life in danger and defies her loyalty to her father, the king, to Paro, in order to save Moshe. Ki min amayim mishisiu. She sees the cradle and she saves Moshe. And now we're looking at number 4, which is the top left of your page. And he says the following, that what Batya did for Moshe is something amazing. She puts her life on the line in order to save Moshe Rabbeinu. She violates the will of her father that all newborn baby, Jewish babies, male babies should be thrown into the Nile and should be killed. She saves Moshe through an act of Mesiras Nefesh. And here Reb Chaim has an amazing idea which almost sounds Kabbalistic and metaphysical. He says that what Batya was able to do was to take that Mesiras Nefesh, the ability and the desire to put your life in danger for some greater goal and greater ideal, and inject it into the very soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'imachnisa koach zeshel Mesiras Nefesh begufo ubenafsho shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu now becomes the paradigm of Mesiras Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's going to be willing to give himself up, Mecheni no misivcha, for the sake of others, for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And why? How does Moshe Rabbeinu get endowed with that unbelievable midah? The answer is because min amayim mishisiu, because Batya injected that into Moshe's Nefesh. And what that means, my friends, is that a maisa chesed, when you do a chesed for someone, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, you penetrate into that person's soul that power of chesed. It's not just that you're doing good for him, but you're also transforming his personality. And that's, he says, what the Yerushalmi means in Kiddush in the fourth parak, Shalosh Matonos Tovus Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Rachmonim Baishonim Ugomli Chasodim Gomli Chasodim Minayin Dechsiv V'shamra Hashem Elokecha L'chos HaBris V'sachesed. If Hashem bestows chesed on Klal Yisrael and he observes the covenant and that commitment and loyalty to Klal Yisrael, then that becomes chesed that's penetrating into the soul of the people of Israel. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnayegim Yisrael b'midas ha-chesed? And as a result, B'nai Yisrael become gomle chasod. And therefore Moshe, the name Moshe is chosen amongst all the other nations, all the other names that are given to Moshe. And why? Because what does Moshe have to live up to as the leader of Klal Yisrael? What is his calling? What is his challenge? It's Mesiris Nefesh. For every single individual. And that's what the name Moshe Rabbeinu is all about. Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of a leader. Why? Because he worries, he cares about every individual member of his community. He tries to be Masapek Tzrochov, to give all their needs and fulfill their needs. Yoshua will be the same leader in the next generation, following in the path of his Rebbe, of his mentor, Moshe Rabbeinu, Isha Sharuah Bo, says Rashi, Kineged Rucho Shekol Echad Ve'echad. It's not enough that he has an impact on the generation as a generation, on the community as a community, but he has to deal with and relate to each individual on their level, in their own personal subjective way. That's what a manig is all about. And the paradigm of that is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu, about whom it is said, Vayetze Elachiv Elachav Vayar Besivlosom. He leaves the comfort of the insulated palace in order to go out and see and behold personally the suffering of his nation. And that's what defines Moshe Rabbeinu as Roa Besivlosom, as a person who cares, who is empathetic, who is Moser Nefesh for every individual. That is encompassed in the name Moshe, Ki Min Hamayim Mishisihu. So just to summarize the whole night's learning in one sentence, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is on a special, unique level. Moshe Rabbeinu's Anova is unique. He understands Yahavaya, and therefore Anachnu Ma. And Moshe Rabbeinu's level as a leader is that of chesed, of mesiris nefesh. We should all be zochim mitz Hashem to love the Torah, to accept Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, Torahi, v'lumad and itzorech, to rise and climb higher and higher in the midos of chesed and anova and all the great attributes that Moshe Rabbeinu embodies and personifies. Kei yiratzon. Amen.